HRheadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Welcome to our HRHQ podcast. We're chatting to Jan Larrison, HR evangelist, researcher and consultant with SG Works. And Jan, thank you for your patience this morning. We're going to dive straight in. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about your own pathway. HR evangelist, researcher, consultant, how did you land where you are at the minute?
Yeah, good morning and nice to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I have a long career coming from educational psychology, ended up in learning and development in the end, joined SD Works in 2011, specifically to have a broader perspective on HR as a consultant, got more and more interested in the content and the research. So I also had the opportunity to collaborate with the Antwerp Management School, started my own research trajectory at the University of Antwerp. For the last 3-5 years, taking up more and more opportunities to talk about the future of work in HR on behalf of SD Works in all the countries where we are present in Europe, which is about 26. So yes, loving the job, actually.
Well, you're in a great position to look back over the last, even the last decade in HR has just, nobody could have predicted the challenges that people are facing, but also looking to the future, the next 5 and 10 years, how it's going to evolve. You might talk us through your own reflections on those shifts.
Yeah, I think there are several shifts. I think one of the things that I've also been talking about a lot the last couple of months and discussing with HR directors in roundtables is I think that we have to rethink the operating model that HR has been using for the past decade, as you mentioned. Labor markets are tight. That is definitely one that we have to look at. Also from our Pulse report 2025, talent shortages are very high on the list of HR managers and things to tackle over the upcoming years. More and more, we also see from the talent side, from the employee side, the need for a personalized employment relationship. More and more people want to choose how they work, when they work, where they work, putting pressure also on models of hybrid work. Of course, the labor market has its own dynamics in many of the countries where we are present. So yes, HR has a lot to do in managing those different realities of the labor market, what the organization need and what employees want.
And you mentioned there even about just hybrid work models, but even AI, automation, all of these new challenges that are emerging, what sort of responsibilities should HR professionals prepare for? You know, we're looking at digital ethics, you know, the employee experience, even tech fluency. How is the landscape changing?
I think the most important thing to observe is that AI, of course, is changing the jobs of many people, including HR, but in the first place of many working people in the organization. So it's important that HR takes notice and tries to understand how this will impact the job design and be involved in that job design for the upcoming years. Then also reflect on how it's going to change the job of HR. As you mentioned, with AI, we are going to do a lot of things that we haven't done before. We can look at personalization. We look at the changes of jobs. We look at the processes within HR that will be maybe more predictive and so on. So first of all, HR needs to take notice that AI is changing jobs and changing their jobs as well. So that means in the first place, job design. As you mentioned also, anything that's related to compliance and to ethics, two different things and at the same time not so different. How do we comply with the AI Act? Have we done what we needed to do in terms of bringing policies to bear and explaining to people how AI is implemented in the workplace and what does that mean? And maybe also think about ethical commissions to reflect on a number of things, how AI is changing the world of work and whether it is wise to use some of the data with artificial intelligence, like people data, to actually reflect on those things and what the company policies can be on this. Like someone said, it's not because we can or technology can do it and we are legally allowed to do it that it's ethically a good idea. So job design, I think, is one, how it's changing jobs, two, to reflect on how it's changing the work of HR, but also how effectively compliance and ethics come into play as a new field for HR to be very, very up to date with.
And as you mentioned, these new fields, it's actually quite an exciting time to be working in your space, but it's changing so quickly. And you kind of wonder, what are those strategies that are needed to future-proof the HR kind of landscape, but also just to make sure that your whole company is ready for these future challenges?
Yeah, I think that there Something new that we actually, well, I think that it's important that HR gets on board is to define a people strategy next to a business strategy and a financial strategy in the organization. The business strategy in an organization is responsible for defining the demand of talent and competence that we need. Finance is there to set the guardrails in terms of finance, but it's up to HR to manage the supply of talent to meet that demand. And that means that something new is coming into play, and that's actually developing a people strategy to make sure that we are not only a partner to the organization, but also a strategic partner, and that we can advise the organization where things are going in terms of the world of work, what's happening in the labor market, and also define how we're going to fill the demand for talent with people from the market, in employees, with internal mobility, potentially also with temporary agency workers, consultants, potentially even platform workers. But there we're going to have to play a very important role to actually define how are we going to meet that demand for talent, how are we going to define and build that talent supply chain. I think that's one of the core things. And the other thing is that there is an important part also, anything that is related to the people data. I think that we all need to become very much data savvy. People analytics is a field emerging, very important for people in HR. And I think for a lot of us, something that we might have forgotten how important data and statistics are in the organization, not only in terms of reporting, but also these new opportunities that arise to do predictive analytics and some more. I think also there, we need to step up a bit in the game, and HR managers and people should, again, these new competencies, so that actually we can become a strategic partner at the table of directors.
God, there's a lot that you mentioned there, so we're going to try and unpack it a little bit. But even the role of predictive analytics and data-driven decision-making play, how will they play in shaping HR strategies going forward? And you mentioned that kind of people component as well. There's a lot in that. You might kind of just unpack it a little bit for us.
Yeah, I think first of all, if we look at people analytics, it very much has a history of HR reporting. So that means on a basic level, basically reporting on how many people, what's the attrition rate, and how are we looking at the evolution of absenteeism? So very much static in terms of reporting. I think there, that field is very much developing into unpacking, also making predictions. How can we expect absenteeism to evolve? How can we tackle attrition? Let's have a deep dive look at what attrition is doing to the organization. Let's unpack that, as you use the word, and see what is actually going on, so that we can build also strategies to tackle the problems that we are facing. Whereas for now, we are using data much, well, I think in essence, to do descriptics and not too much in terms of action taking. So that's a very important component there. But as you refer to also, how can AI help us to do those kind of things? It is a very new field, yes.
And as a HR leader yourself, Jan, what sort of approach would you advise other people in this space in terms of the ethical use of AI, particularly around recruitment or maybe, as you mentioned, you know, things like performance management, even employee engagement? I mean, there is an ethical question here that's important to keep front of mind when you're engaging with new technologies.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, there's an ethical dimension, but a lot of things have already been captured in European legislation, in the AI Act, for instance. So acquainting ourselves with legislation, especially European legislation, is going to be a very important component of what HR is going to do the upcoming years. There are also things related to DORA, which is related to legislation and anything that is security. We're going to have to acquaint ourselves with what exactly is in there, as we did for GDPR, for that matter, and understand how this is impacting the way that we operate, and also understand to which extent artificial intelligence can be deployed to use people data. And that is, I have to say, very, very, very limited. So in terms of the ethics, looking at the compliance component first already limits very much what is potentially to be done with people data at all, because they are data that are at risk, as is defined by the AI Act. In terms of ethics, I think it is worthwhile for HR to initiate a discussion within the organization with other stakeholders, being the business, being finance, being also the legal people and risk, to understand, like, how is it that we in our own organization are going to use this? And specifically, how will we explain both to managers and to employees how we are using these data and to which end? So there's a component of understanding it, knowing what it is. There's a component of looking at what it is as an organization that you want to do, aligned with your business objectives. But there's also a very important component to explain to people working on the organization what artificial intelligence is, how it is used, and especially how it is not used within the organization as it, when it comes to personal data.
And I think that openness and transparency is just so important to have that kind of communication with everybody within your industry. As you're talking, and you mentioned GDPR and then other challenges, I'm wondering, you know, since you've been in SGWorks, all of the changes and challenges that you've seen, everything is possible. I mean, there's nothing that you can't work through, but things can feel kind of maybe insurmountable, like even the hybrid working model that changed during the COVID challenges or GDPR. And now we're looking at AI. You know, somebody with your experience and wisdom can say to HR leaders, this is all doable. But you just need to have the right strategies and really plan it ahead.
Well, it is. I agree. And I think it is doable. But like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think that we also are obliged to reimagine ourselves as a function and to find out again what new models that we need. How do we need to organize? What competence that we need to acquire to actually overcome those new challenges? The model that a lot of HR organizations are built on dates back from the 90s, going back to Dave Ulrich, looking at HR Business Partnering Center of Excellence and Service Centers, there definitely I think we need to revise how that is organized and acquaint ourselves with new ways to overcome that. I also think that hybrid working, as you said, which has become very much the model during COVID, is now being revised. There we might also take an evidence-based approach to understand how this has actually changed, what were the good things about it, what is the downside of it, and how it should be organized in new ways. A lot of it still relates to working from home or not working from home, but how are we actually going to do new things? Can we use new technology to do it better, and to which end? I think we're looking too much at long meetings, too many people involved, but can we do that in a different way? So there, I think evidence-based looking at new models, but specifically and starting with ourselves, how can we apply those to HR in the first place and reimagine our own operating model to be successful for the future?
And I love that concept of reimagining. And I think that's what you have to do. But as you know, as humans, we don't like change. And often that's the challenge, that we're, you know, these changes are coming and we're a little bit resistant. Mm-hmm. But in terms of kind of maybe the new competencies or what we can do, what do HR professionals, do you think, need to do to thrive in this kind of new area? Or how can we reimagine? I mean, you mentioned COVID there and kind of hybrid working, or I mentioned COVID, you mentioned the hybrid working research. I'd love to ask you your opinions on that, or what is emerging, and are you surprised with some of this research and what it's now revealing?
Surprised, maybe yes, but I think that there also, this was coming, I think. COVID was a very important catalyst, things that are evolving now, the markets and so on. The most important thing where I think that HR needs to reimagine is, first of all, how can we be a strategic partner? How can we actually help the business by not only taking orders for what they're asking, but how can we also advise them on what is the best way to build that talent supply chain for their organization? What are new skills that we should be focusing on? Is it wise to keep on hiring people with experience, or should we focus also on having a specific strategy for hiring people that are straight out of school, for instance? Secondly, I also believe that HR has become, specifically in the centers of excellence, very much expertise driven, reward, talent, recruitment. More and more of the challenges that we are facing in organizations are transversal and are multi-expertise, like, for instance, employee experience. Employee experience is related to HR tech, is related to reward, is related to onboarding, is related to... So more and more of the things that we're trying to implement to support the organization in being successful on the people side of the business is very much interrelated, and therefore maybe the silos that we existed between reward, between talent and others might have to be teared down a bit. I think expertise will be very important, but that means thirdly that we're going to have to find new ways to collaborate within the or between the expertises to do a better job in supporting the business.
God, it's so interesting. You're mentioning a lot of things that have my mind racing here, which is what these conversations are all about. But one of the things you mentioned was kind of maybe getting school leavers to join the company. And I know with things like World Skills, where their big companies are really actively trying to recruit young people and bring them into the business and kind of they're learning while on the job and they're being sent to college later. That's kind of a new model. And maybe we have to shift the whole of society in how working life is going to unfold in the next kind of decade or the next two decades. Do you think there's a kind of a wider consciousness shift in society?
I think there is. I think it's quite ambitious to see HR in the role of making that societal shift happen, but we're definitely part of it. I think that is true. Working life, although still very much traditionally viewed, has to do with going to school, then going to work, and then retire. More and more, we do see that lifelong learning is becoming an important component of the whole career development, both for younger people, for mid-career people, and people at, let's say, in the autumn of their careers. So yes, there is a shift, and working and learning, specifically in an era of AI, is becoming very much intertwined and is happening in real time. So we're trying to get to grips with how that is happening. And in terms of recruitment, yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to say to hire young people because they've been acquainted with AI at school. So that brings something new to the table if you hire those people. At the same time, experience also is something that is important in the now, but potentially not that important anymore in the near future. So how can we make sure, and there we come to the core companies, how can we make sure that we all develop learning companies? Competencies. So the idea that we all keep learning to actually be successful and useful and purposeful in our jobs for the upcoming years.
And I think that word purposeful is so important. I mean, we have to be intentional in the work that we're doing. But in the kind of increasingly digital workspaces, what do HR professionals kind of need to look at, particularly in things like change management? How can they support their teams to kind of thrive and be purposeful in these spaces?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, developing, like I said, a people strategy and a people purpose to explain and to communicate to everybody how we're looking at the people side of the business, how we want to actually involve people in being A, successful themselves as a team, but also contributing. I think contribution is a very important word, and is also how they can contribute to the success and the sustained competitive advantage of an organization. That is crucial to explain that. That's a very important message that has to be sent. In designing the work, like I said, the job design, how are we designing jobs in an era of AI? How are we looking at that? How do we thoroughly create collaboration? And there, I think a lot of work can be done by HR professionals to rethink the way that we work together with technology, using AI during meetings and so on and so on. So, viewing also, reimagining how we do that, and not just do the meeting that we used to do in a conference room, in an online conference room, but think about how we can do better in terms of doing that kind of work together, using tools also how they should be used or how they can be used so that they also have an added value and that we don't keep doing the same thing that we've been doing for years, but now just in a digital way.
Oh God, it, you know what? Even as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking about these future work realities that you're kind of discussing. And in kind of looking at and fostering inclusion or belonging, and particularly with remote and diverse teams, kind of what advice would you give just for strategies, like kind of these little take-home ideas that we might be thinking of just to kind of blend those work realities for people?
I think one of the interesting things that we have in terms of diversity and inclusion is that technology works for everybody. And that might be an equalizer. If we go in terms of using technology to work purposefully together, that's going to be a very important thing, because with AI, not depending where you are or when you work, this brings together a lot of things so that people can work at a time that is convenient to them, in a way that is convenient to them. So I think HR tech might be very much the fuel to actually make that diversity and that diverse and hybrid work happening in the near future. I think it's one of the most important things. And that means, again, that HR needs to acquaint themselves with these new technologies and also promote them in a way that people are ready and eager to use them in practice.
And if you were looking ahead and making any predictions, could you have possibly predicted 10 years ago, perhaps the long-lasting effects of COVID or AI? If now in the position that you're in, if you were to looking ahead, if we were having this conversation in 10 years, Jan, what sort of things do you think we'll be chatting about then?
It's a good point. I think that if we were talking 8 years ago, we wouldn't have predicted COVID. And it would be likely that we would have talked about the progression and the development of technology, but potentially not AI as we know it now, because basically that has been The biggest catalyst for AI and generative AI has been the fact that ChatGPT has been unleashed on the world population a couple of years ago now. So that's also an evolution that we can't see. I do think that for the upcoming years, there are a number of things that we can't see. The only thing that we will see happening is that more and more talent shortages will happen, will exist. I think labor market demographics are what they are. So we're going to have to find new ways to make people work together with a colleague that is not a person, but an AI agent, a piece of technology to boost productivity in organizations. That, I think, is one of the most important things. Secondly, I think in terms of diversity, inclusion, again, there, we're going to have to find new ways to be inclusive for technology, because technology, you might argue, or AI may be part of HR by then and not of IT. And I sincerely hope that AI will be part of HR in the near future and will shift from IT towards that department. I think those are the most important things that we can see now happening, but not there yet. But I hope very much that these things will be realized in the upcoming years.
I've no doubt, Jan, that probably it could even be this time next year, you'd be chatting to an AI podcast host, and you might not even be talking to me. But you know what we should do? We should chat every year, once a year, and look back on our predictions and see where we are.
Yeah, and I do hope that you are a real person, Andrea, because otherwise it would be a very good AI impersonation.
It was so lovely chatting to you, Jan, HR evangelist, researcher, consultant with SD Works. You are going to join me in a year's time, and we're going to keep this dialogue going and see how your predictions are going. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
HRHeadquarters.ie.